Mo could fight injustice like a cornered tiger on one condition, as long as he didn't have to speak. A lawyer by training, Mo was whip smart and had a reputation for being genuinely respectful. Despite his mild-mannered appearance, diminutive, skinny, and balding, with two perfect circles of wire-rimmed glasses perched above a trim little mustache, his commitment to social causes like the rights of the elderly or the protection of vulnerable women was fierce. His experience spanned the globe. At this point in his career, he had already worked in three different countries on three different continents. As part of his idealistic crusade for justice, however, he often found himself in the most unidealistic of settings, meetings. It was at these meetings, in community centers and church basements with folding chairs and a lingering smell of old coffee, where Mo's story played out. He told it like this. "The other day, I was at a meeting, and one of the organizers turned to me and said, 'You know, Mo, when it's just you and me, you talk totally fine, but you're so quiet at meetings. I don't think I've ever heard you open your mouth.'" Mo was mortified. He knew deep down that his colleague spoke the truth. Mo was always attentive, always pleasant, but it was true. He never said a word. And now it was confirmed to Mo that his silence was obvious, that he couldn't simply hide in plain sight. "It's not that I don't want to say anything, I just don't know how to say it," Mo said. "Everyone else seems to feel so comfortable, so confident. But as soon as I work up the courage to speak, the topic has changed. That happens all the time." Not knowing what to say doesn't happen only to Mo. It happens to so many of us, particularly in today's world of cryptic, "how do I answer this" text messages and "gotta be right" Instagram captions. If you're wired or were raised like Mo, more on this distinction shortly, technology and the internet ensure you have a million reasons to second-guess yourself. Plus, you still have to battle the anxieties of in-person social interaction. Like Mo, you may know firsthand the excruciation of teetering on the edge of speaking. It's like standing at the end of a 10-meter diving platform, your heart pounding at the prospect of leaping in. Remaining silent invites frustration. "I knew that was the answer," or "damn it, that was my idea." But the thought of jumping into the abyss of conversation is paralyzing. But after his colleague's comment, Mo decided it was actually worse to remain silent than to say something. Ongoing silence weighs a person down like a slowly accumulating pile of bricks in the lap. A few moments of silence can be easily shaken off, but hours of silence are nearly impossible to break, particularly without causing turned heads, exclamations of surprise, and crushingly offhand comments of, "Oh, I forgot you were there." So Mo decided to try to speak sooner rather than later. "So I showed up to the next meeting with some notes jotted in my phone. I thought it would be easier if I wrote out what I wanted to say, but I couldn't do it. The worst part is that the guy next to me took my phone and read my notes to everyone. I think he thought he was doing me a favor, but I wanted to die. What kind of man can't read his own notes?" Once humiliated, twice shy. It took Mo a while to work up the courage to try again, but he did. Before the next meeting, he gamely typed out some more notes, but he still couldn't manage to say anything. "I tried," he said, "but my vision got blurry, I started to shake, it was horrible. Why does this keep happening to me? What the hell is wrong with me? Why can't I do what other people can do so easily?" From working in politics, Mo was used to having to try again. So he decided to push himself, to try one more time. "I had a dinner to go to, just friends, so I thought I'd try giving a toast," he said. "I rehearsed it over and over in my head, but when I stood up, I couldn't get past the first sentence. I had even worked a joke into it, but once I got past the first line, I couldn't remember the rest of the joke, much less what else I wanted to say, so I just said, 'Thanks for coming,' and sat down. And I thought, oh my God, what an idiot." Mo's experience is so common, it has a name: social anxiety. Social anxiety is self-consciousness on steroids. First, there is a sense of being conspicuous, of sticking out like a sore thumb. There follows an urge to hide, to conceal, sometimes by staying away altogether, sometimes by showing up but remaining silent or staring intently at the floor. We worry we'll say the wrong thing, do something awkward, and get roundly, deservedly criticized for it. Therefore, so many of us feel stressed in class, at parties, in groups, at work, with strangers, on social media. We are convinced we are too much of something, too weird, too awkward, too annoying, or that we are not enough of something else, not confident, not socially skilled, not competent. Finally, our bodies betray us. We are sure everyone notices our graceless blushing, sweaty palms, or trembling hands. This may all sound familiar. Did your eyes light up in recognition at Mo's story? Did you find yourself nodding your head as you listened? Something else you and Mo have in common, I'll wager, is that at some point along this awkward, anxious journey, perhaps before a date, an interview, or a first day of school, a supporter has offered you some time-honored advice. Just be yourself. This phrase is always well-meant, but can be phenomenally irritating. It seems so simple, but in the moment, it feels impossible. Anyone who has been in Mo's position knows how difficult it is to think through the buzz of anxiety, how it hijacks our ability to think, speak, and respond.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.